Welcome to the Resilient Recruiter Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Whitby, and today I am delighted to be joined by Craig Picken. Craig is the co-founder and managing director of North Star Group, a boutique executive search firm based in Wilmington, North Carolina. Craig's focused on recruiting senior-level leadership, sales, and operations executives for some of the most prominent companies in the aviation and aerospace industries. Since 2009, he has personally conducted several hundred executive-level searches in a variety of disciplines. For the last three consecutive years, he's billed over $1.25 million as a solo recruiter, reaching a career milestone of $1.5 million in 2023, which was a down year for a lot of recruiters. Pretty incredible. This is Craig's second appearance on the podcast. So, Craig, hi, thank you for being here and welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Mark. Happy Friday. Good to see you.
You too. So last time you were here, believe it or not, was episode 22. And you were one of my very first guests ever on the show. That was probably about 3 years ago, I think. And, you know, this podcast has taken off since then and sounds like you're absolutely cooking with gas as well. So what's new since we last did this?
More gray hair in my head. That's new. that's new. It's all about, you know, what's new since we talked? COVID came and went. And, I remember when they shut the world down for COVID, I went home and I looked at my wife and I said, let's just go take a year off because it's just going to suck. I mean, you think about the world's airlines were parked. Airlines aren't flying. That means parts aren't flowing. That means leasing companies aren't doing any deals. It's, my whole world. I just looked at my wife. I was like, I was like, let's just go. Let's go have fun. And then next day, the phone rang and it was like, hey, we're thinking about some stuff. I'm like, all right, let's talk about what you're thinking about. And the conversations kept happening. It was still a crummy year, but it started some dialogues and started some thought processes. And so so here we are in 2024, starting off 2024, and it's February 2nd. And quite frankly, I'm still trying to get out of first gear. 2023 was so chaotic. The biggest mistake I made was not taking a break during the Christmas holidays. And now here I am. I'm like, I got to get out of first gear. What am I going to do? So it's an interesting dilemma.
Yeah, you're not the only one who's kind of got the January blues and taking a moment to really get back on track, Craig. So let's talk about 2023 then, because you had, was that your career like high or in terms of billings?
It was.
Amazing. So it sounds like there's some positives and some downsides to that. You said it was pretty hectic. So talk to me about what did you do differently that has, or maybe it's not something you did in 2023. Maybe it's something that's led up to that. Like, what do you think contributed to that, that record year?
Look, I think it's a lot of, having conversations. And every day you have a choice. You can come in. You just got to have the right conversations. And everybody talks about, I want to do retain searches. I want to do retain searches, whatever. I just want to have conversations. I don't want to do anything. I just want to have conversations with interesting people who are in my niche. And the conversations are always about, what are you thinking about? What's next look for you? What's next look like for you? What's happening in your organization? And most of those conversations happen with my feet up on the desk and I'm just taking little notes and you circle it and you think about, okay, I know what's making this person tick and what's going to make them think about tomorrow or what's next in their career. And then you're talking to companies and they're thinking, hey, look, this is where we're struggling. This is what's happening, whatever. So, the last couple of, I did my last placement, I'll call it, I'll bill it in 2024, but my last placement occurred on New Year's Eve at 7 o'clock in the evening. And it was with a person I had a conversation with over a year ago. And I said, hey, I've got this pretty unique project going. You know, you want to take a look at it? He's like, yeah, I'm all over it. And he was absolutely the right person. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the two placements before that was a CEO calling and saying, hey, I need a COO now. Okay. Here's two or three people that we can talk to that are, you know, looking for something else. They want a private equity. They want a private equity deal. Oh, hey, by the way, can you throw a GM in there too? Yep. We can do that as well. Yeah. By the time the retainer would have gotten paid, the deal is done. And they're okay. Happy and they're happy. So, you know, you're thinking about, you know, it's all about having the right conversations and constantly having them with the people that you're interested in.
I love it. So let's drill down a little bit on that. I love the philosophy. It's very simple and obviously it's working for you. But there's some variables here I wanted to explore. So number one, you said the right conversation. So what qualifies for you as someone who is the right conversation?
Look, the market that I place in, it's you know, my peer level. It's kind of, you know, vice president to the C level. And those, you know, that's where I've been. And those are the conversations I'd like to have. It's, there's a lot of people who do really, really well with, you know, the lower end of, you know, I just like P&L, I like profit and loss leaders. I like senior ops leaders, like general managers, CEOs, CFOs. Those are the people I have really fun conversations with. They just teach me about business. You know, a lot of things are, you know, thinking about. So that's kind of those are the conversations I have.
Okay. So as far as you're concerned, if they're in your niche and they're at the right level, those are the right people that you want to be talking to every day, right?
That's the zip code that I play in the most.
Great. And so I guess you're not really concerned at the conversation stage of, are they a client? Are they a candidate? Because they could be both, right? Or either. And you don't know until you get into the conversation with them. So it's just having conversations consistently every day with the right people. The next question then, Craig, is how many? Like, what do you have a goal for every day? I want to talk to this number of people. You know, you don't have a goal. So, okay, let me ask a different question. What if you averaged it out in 2023 or in the last few years, how many would you estimate you're having per week with the right people?
My phone starts ringing at 8:30 in the, well, my phone will start ringing or getting texts at 7:30 in the morning, and I will not stop getting phone calls or texts until probably 8:30 or 9 at night. And I come in the morning, you know, it's a lot of, do I have any goals? No. I think I've just reached a point where, you know, it's, you know, I'm having the conversations. I can have the emails, you know, I could just shoot an email. Hey, let's chat. Just to give you a heads up. In 2023, I did 33. I'm in a room. People say North Star Group. I go, look, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you the truth about the group. And in fact, we'll talk. I'm getting ready to totally rebrand everything. And we can talk about that in a little bit. But I just tell people, I go, look, if you need a group, go somewhere else because the group is me. And they go, do you have anybody helping you? I go, no. I go, no, it's me. I am the group. It's just me. If that scares the hell out of you, I get it. Go somewhere else. And there's a lot of stuff I'm not going to get because it scares the hell out of them. Or they think that, hey, look, you know, we got a board of directors or we got, you know, this. That's fine. I don't care. But, you know, you think about how many conversations you need to have to do 33, you know, over $200,000 a year placements. There's a lot. So. And I don't track it. I don't keep it. I just know that I'm on the phone all the time having conversations.
All right. So I would like, I know you don't know the number, but do you track any of this stuff like on a database or?
No, I track. The only thing I track is I have a little Excel spreadsheet.
But then how do you know who you've spoken to and what you discussed?
Oh, I use Clockwork Recruiting as my CRM. And okay. I just remember, I think I'm blessed. I remember everybody. I remember just a lot of people. I use two things. There's two tools I use. I don't use anything more than the cheapest, what is it? LinkedIn Sales Navigator. So I don't use Recruiter or anything like that. That's more horsepower than I need. And I use Clockwork Recruiting now. I just switched to that. I'm trying to figure that one out. And then I use, a Excel spreadsheet, and I keep every year I just put tabs in there and I go, okay, position I'm working on. I go, who have I talked to? And I have a whiteboard. So it's all very simple. So the conversations come out to who have I talked to about this position that goes on an Excel spreadsheet. Another Excel spreadsheet tracks all my send outs. So if anybody has a phone interview, it's very simple. It's phone interview, video interview, face-to-face. That's it. And I have 12 months a year. So you talk about dark age. Hilarious. You talk about dark ages, a phone, a pen, a piece of paper, and an Excel spreadsheet, and that is it.
All right, sir. You're doing it not like totally opposite to the way I would recommend, but it's, you know, it just goes to show there's not one right way of doing this business. Listen, the reason I was asking about, I'm trying to understand your formula, right? Like you say you need to have conversations consistently, but I don't know if that, like, ballpark, is that 3 a week or is that 30 a week or is that 100 a week?
30 a week.
Okay.
30 a week. Yeah.
So closer to 30. Yeah. So like 5 or 6 really good conversations a day.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Or is it more than that? What do you think?
No, it's probably 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
10 conversations a day. And the conversation can range from, hey, we need to let somebody go.
Mm.
You know, how do we do it? You know, what's going on? Or this is a problem. And it's like, okay. It's not a we need a person or not a placement. It's we're having an issue. How do we get over this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a conversation. Or the other conversation is I'm thinking about, I want to move into the C-suite. You know, what do I do to move into the C-suite? And, dissecting it. So, you know, it's all about quality over quantity, and it's about helping, I just did a placement with, a CEO, and I had worked with him in his prior role. And, you know, ultimately he left that company, but, you know, we had had lunch one day and we had talked about, not about the challenges he was having in his business, but the challenges he was having a little bit with the board and a little bit keeping all the parts moving and a little bit of, hey, I'm overwhelmed. Where do we go? Okay. I'll come up and I'll come have lunch with you and let's go sit outside and talk about those things. He moved on to a new company, tells his HR director to call me about something. And, you know, we just finished it up. So, you know.
Craig. Okay. Awesome. So, you said something else earlier, which is the phone starts ringing or the texts start coming in at 7:30. But what are you doing, like, at further on up at the top of the funnel to make the phone ring, right? Or like, what are the things you've done in the past that have gotten to the point where now the phone kind of rings and you have these, like, how are these conversations, like, scheduled appointments or are they spontaneous conversations? And how do you get to that point? Because I think the problem is you make it sound super easy, and I know it's not. There's more to this than, you know, there's years that you've put into getting to this point. But what are the, what are the inputs that lead to that?
I get it. And look, the first thing I would say to anybody who's new in this business, I would just say, don't do it like I do. I've got 15 years underneath me. And quite frankly, I come into the office every day. I think it's like, it's a little bit like a pro athlete. You know, I'm scared. Every day there is a nervousness about me about, hey, look, what am I going to do today to make it successful? And it's a thought process. couple things I do. I write a lot. If anybody follows me on LinkedIn knows that I'm fearless kind of speaking my mind on a lot of things. I have my podcast, which I've done for coming up on five years now. So almost 250 episodes of a podcast, and the podcasts are done with, I just did a podcast, was released yesterday with the president and chief admin officer of a major business jet operator. Last week I released one, it was with the CEO of a business jet, MRO. There's a lot there. But it's also, a referral, a LinkedIn conversation, with a private equity partner. Hey, I'm Craig. I've been 15 years in this industry and this is who I've worked with. We should just know each other. Let's do it. Investment bankers, I have conversations with a lot of investment bankers. If I can help you in any way, let me know. So, that's what I'm doing at the top of the funnel. Like I said, every day it's about thinking about who do I want to have a conversation with? Who do I just want to meet and do it?
Fantastic. So Craig, you've got your podcast, which as I know, is a fantastic way of building relationships, giving you access to fantastic people, as well as it's really valuable content that you're putting out there. So you build a following of people who know, like, and trust you. You're posting on LinkedIn, and it sounds like you're also cultivating relationships with people who may not directly be customers, but they are going to, they're in the same space as you. They're going to refer people to investment banks, PE partners, and so on. Now, those, you mentioned the LinkedIn conversation. Would that be you proactively reaching out and connecting with them?
Yeah. Shoot them a note.
Yeah.
Hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. Let's have a conversation.
And I know you don't set targets, but roughly how many of those sorts of things are you doing every day?
Every day.
Like just
two or three. Okay. Yeah, I figure two or three every day. Two or three every day. And that's once again, what is my personal goal? I just want to be known by everybody. It's like, hey, I want to be out there. I want to just know everybody. Heresy. I think the big word is I just want to help people. Where do I make my money? By helping people. When you go into it without thinking about, what's in it for you or what's in it for me, that builds bridges that are very, very long and very, very strong. And, how can I be of value to you? And that might be, hey, look, you see a strong executive who wants to take it one more level. You say, hey, look, let's have an hour conversation and talk about positioning you correctly. It's free consulting. Some people would look at it like free consulting. I look at it like I just help somebody who could put $100,000 or more in my pocket, in a year or two. It's the long game. It's playing the long game.
Beautiful little monologue, Craig. Really, really powerful stuff. Playing the long game, 100%. So there is activity. It's high quality rather than quality rather than quantity, but there is activity that you're putting in that isn't necessarily going to result in a deal today or next week or even next month, right? It's you're proactively reaching out to the right people on LinkedIn. You're putting your unfiltered, thoughts out there, writing a lot on LinkedIn. You're publishing your podcast. So these are planting seeds, right? They're not going to germinate overnight. I mean, sometimes it's timing, right? Right place, right time. And someone's ready to, to hire or make a move. But you've been planting those seeds and nurturing them for a long time. Before we hit record, you and I were talking a bit about positioning. Can you share your thoughts on positioning and how you position yourself in the market?
I try to position myself as just an expert. Not somebody who's looking for a transaction, but somebody who's looking to provide value. And, you know, once again, you know, when you can provide value to a CEO, you know, or value to somebody who wants to be a CEO or somebody who wants to move up the food chain, that just puts you up at a higher level versus somebody who is transactional. And what I, the last thing I want to be in my life is transactional. That's kind of how I try to position myself.
Could you elaborate on that? Like, what do you mean specifically by transactional versus, you know, what does that mean in your world?
Need a guy, got a guy. Hey, this is, you know, it's, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. And I'll just give you, for instance, I've been headhunted and we could talk about that. I've been headhunted 3 times this year, in the last year.
By firms who want to like bring you under their umbrella or.
And it was headhunters. I didn't know there were headhunters who recruited headhunters. So a couple of them reached out and I said, hey, look, are you open? I said, you know, yeah, I'm at a point in my life where I'll entertain the conversation, but here is what I'm not looking for. And I was very clear in the specifics. Here is what I will not go for. One headhunter I haven't heard back from. The other one neither one of them took control of, you know, neither one of them took control of the dialogue. You know, they just kind of, you know, hey, made an introduction and they left. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah. A little uncomfortable. And here we are. I'm still in a room by myself and that tells you where it goes. So I think, you know, like when I talk about, you know, being positioning yourself, it's a relationship. And I am here with you every step of the way. Here's my cell number. Here's my email. You know, no matter where you are or what you're doing, whatever problem you run into, whether I have a dog in the fight or not, you call me. If some other recruiter is putting you onto a job and you're just unsure and you need somebody to talk to who doesn't have a dog in the fight, just call me. We can walk through it together. If nothing else, I'll be a friendly voice that you can bounce things off of. Once again, it's playing the long game.
Love it. Yeah. That's a nice little script. I know you probably don't think of it as a script, but anything you say more than once is a script. So if that's the sort of thing you say to people who I love it. It's really, really thoughtful and reassuring to the person you're talking to. And that is the definition of positioning. What you did just there is positioning, right? You're positioning yourself not as the transactional recruiter who's looking for a quick buck, but as someone who is going to be supportive and helpful to you, you know, throughout your career, and even if there's no immediate benefit to you. So that's a great example of positioning. But Craig, what about when sometimes clients don't seem to want the relationship, they want the transaction, right? So how do you deal with companies or hiring authorities who you want to run things a certain way because you want to be the expert and the you're playing the long game, but they're transactional on the client side. What's your approach to them?
You just deal with it. I mean, if you're going to make them a client or if they're going to be a client, you either do it the way they want to do it. They're the customer. I'm a customer to a lot of people. You do it the way I want to do it and you ask me what I'm looking for and you give it to me, right? It's the flip way. It's you give them what they want. But it comes down to this. Do not be afraid to walk away. If it's not working for you, go somewhere else. Because, you know, if you can't work with the client in the way you want to work with the client, you're going to get frustrated. They're going to get frustrated. The relationship will end up in a bad spot anyway. And why put yourself through the headache?
Do you know what? Okay. You just summarize something that has been percolating as we've been talking here, which is, again, to do with positioning, Craig, and you come across as not needy in any way. And I think that's very powerful because a lot of recruiters come across as needy. They're pushy because they have their own agenda and they need this placement. They need to hit their target. They're maybe under pressure for whatever reason, and they're transferring that pressure onto their clients and candidates. And you're the opposite. You're almost like, and that's what you are thinking long term, and you're thinking, you know, you have walkaway power. You don't have to deal with someone if you don't like them. Then you're fine either way, and you give off that vibe, which counterintuitively draws people closer to you, right? It's more attractive to be, you know, neutral rather than to be needy. So that's interesting. What are your non-negotiables when you're partnering with a client in terms of how the relationship and the hiring process works in order for this to be a good partnership for you?
Non-negotiables. Retainer upfront. I mean, if it's, you know, it's you know, it's not $2,500. It's a big, you know, it's a big retainer. Now, I can't, and because I'm a guy in a room, I'll just tell people straight up. I go, look, we could do this a third, a third, a third if you want to. And I'm fine with that. But here's the deal. I hate doing invoices. I mean, there's a thing, and I'll tell you how bad I am with invoices, but you know, I hate doing invoices and I can't track them and I don't know who paid me today and whatever else. And I don't want to be a pain in the, you know. So you write me a big check up front, which is usually about a third of the fee. And then I'll just bill you at the end. And I'll tell you how bad I hate invoices. It's like most people will send that invoice out on the day of hire, 2-3 weeks later. Hey, what's going on? Everything
Craig,
good?
No, don't do that. Listen, this is why you need an assistant, yeah. Craig, because, you know, who am I to tell you? You're doing fine without me. But, you know, I've noticed that if you're slack in sending out the invoices, then sends a message and then clients are slack about paying them on time as well.
They're usually not. I mean, it's interesting to me. Once again, it's all about the relationship. But I'm like, yeah, okay, somebody starts. Hey, I'll give it a week, usually a week. And then I'll get the invoice out and go, okay, hey, what's going on? How are we doing? Everybody good? They're there a week. Yeah, it's all cool. You know, it just flow.
All right. So back to the non-negotiables then. So the
retainer contingent, yep. Contingent is not an option. You know, I get people, hey, okay. Will you do this? No, you know, no. If you want me to pick up the phone, you write me a check. Otherwise, no. So that's a non-negotiable. The third non-negotiable is this. If I send you a candidate, I can do a big write-up on a candidate. And I typically actually do. I'm getting a little slack on that, to be honest. I used to do these really formal write-ups and they're pretty pictures and things like that. Clients tended to like them. Now I find that they don't. They're just like, let's talk about it. So my answer to them is if I send you a candidate, it is not a, hey, look it over and give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. It is, let's, you know, when are we going to get this person on the phone or in your office? Those are non-negotiables. And then the fourth thing is I run the process. I run the process, not you. You know, you are a byproduct. You are the ultimate customer and we can talk about it along the way, but I run the process. And, you know, that's it. So those are kind of my non-negotiables. And you're right. I'm not needy. It's okay.
Fantastic. What about stakeholders? Because sometimes you're briefed by, you know, one, you know, of the hiring authorities, and then you present exactly what they asked for, but then someone else comes along who wasn't involved in the initial conversation says, oh no, that's wrong. We need someone like this.
Yeah.
How do you build in that your process to avoid any, you know, problems down the
road? That's kind of a non-negotiable. It's all about, hey, who am I working with here? You know, if it's Joe, Joe or Mary, the hiring manager. Now, look, they may say, hey, look, my VP of HR is going to get involved in this. And, you know, she's taking a lot off my plate. Great. let's introduce me to your VP of HR. We're going to build a relationship. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to be friends. And that's where it goes. I've walked away from searches where I'm dealing with, you know, literally, I'll tell you a search I walked away from where I was, you know, working with an executive vice president of operations. And then one day, an internal recruiter calls me up and says, hey, we're going to be best friends. All your candidates have to be sent to me for initial screening. And we're talking about a VP level, something or another. I'm like, no. Nice to meet you, but we're not going to be friends and you're not going to be involved in the process. And she's like, oh, yes, I am, because this is our corporate policy. And I go, well, then the process just ended. So we're good. I walked away. I'm happy.
And then what happened?
I'm still friends with the hiring manager. Is moved on to somewhere else. He and I are good friends. We talk a lot. I'll do some work for him, and life is good. Life is happy, healthy, and good. Yeah,
excellent.
Love you it. Can see the airplanes in my back, on my wall. So my first 8 years in the Navy was as a naval flight officer, mm-hmm. and I had the pleasure going through a month of Top Gun. And rule number one at Top Gun is if you can't win the fight, don't fight. Go away and come back. If you're outmanned, outgunned, or not in a position to win, go away and come back. Live to fight another day. It's a great philosophy in recruiting.
Absolutely. That's a good analogy. What did you think of the new Top Gun movie?
Oh, I don't know. People loved it. I was like, no, I was bored. I didn't like it. I was like, no, it's
really?
Yeah, it was
why,
not
why?
Flying scenes were good, but to me, it was just like the original Top Gun. I'll just tell you how old I am. The original Top Gun, I went into flight school right after that initial movie came out. And in fact, a couple of the pilots that flew that were the F-14 pilots in the movie became my friends. We were all Air Wing mates together. And then, the new one comes out. I'm like, it's just kind of an old hash of, it's just kind of, it's kind of a modern day version of the old one. So I don't know.
So you liked the first one, but not
first one was so keen. First on the one was good. One. Second one to me was like, it's okay. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing too
hilarious. But the flip side of being so busy and having a crazy year last year is, and you said you didn't really take a holiday at Christmas time. How are you managing your, physical and mental well-being, Craig, in order to not deplete yourself so that you're not, you can sustain this for another, because this is the kind of business you could pretty much do forever. Like, you don't really have to retire, right? You could just keep going if you're healthy. So, but how are you worried about burning out, or how does that play into things?
Burnout is real. I mean, burnout is real. And, and I'll just give you, for instance, something got into my head and it was like a negative thought. It's kind of like the golfer. You're on the golf course and the guy says, don't screw up your backswing. And gets, somebody got in my head for a few minutes. Somebody got in my head. And then, I worked all through Christmas and I was, put a couple of, was doing some stuff. What I should have been doing was just taking some time off, reading some books, listening to some podcasts, chilling, thinking about it. But I didn't. And then January 1 came around and here we are, Feb 1, it's like we said earlier, I'm having a hard time getting out of first gear mentally. It's like, all right, I'm starting to do it, but burnout is real. And when you're feeling burnout, just put it down, and that's what I've been doing the last couple of days is you just put it down and walk away. It'll all be there tomorrow. Nobody's going to die. But that's the one thing that even my wife's like, you gotta stop. Okay, I'll do that.
Well, she's right. I mean, but surely, Craig, prevention, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? So have you changed anything about your habits or your schedule this year in order to set yourself up for a more you know, being on an even keel throughout the year, or?
No, you know, I'm a disciplined guy. I get up at 8:30. I'm sorry. I get up at 5:30 in the morning. My dog and I are out 6 o'clock in the morning, and we go for, I live just right on the intracoastal waterway down by the, you know, down by the beach. So he and I go out for 45 minutes. That gets me to 6:45. At 7 o'clock, I meet my friend who's CEO of a private equity. Yeah, he's actually a very successful private equity guy. And he and I work out from, we meet promptly at 7 and we work out till 7:50. And then I'm in the office by about 8:30. And that schedule, yeah, that schedule is on. You know, and that's just me being me. And then the weekends, you know, I'm very active. I'm outdoors. I'm not a TV or video game person, you know. So to me, it's all about activity. I just love activity. And that's my, you know, that's sort of my personal challenge is stopping, stopping. But on the flip side, it's about, hey, look, you know, business needs to get shut down. So I turn off the computer about 7 o'clock at night. The phone is off. You know, I'll read the Wall Street Journal or something like that. And you know, life is on. But, you know, but quit worrying about it. And a lot of times the tail, you let the tail wag the dog. That means, you know, people are constantly texting, constantly emailing, hey, can you look at my resume or how can you do that? You know, no, not tonight. You know.
So it's, do you have trouble switching off?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a challenge when you run your own business, right? It's like, it's almost all you think about. My wife sometimes she's like, Mark, you are obsessed. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably true. Cause even when I am not working, I'm still part of my brain is thinking about work,
But you know, it's kind of like Clint Eastwood said, you know, you keep the old man out, but you keep the negativity out. And this is where a lot of people, you know, the negativity comes into their head, and it's, you know, that, you know, pick the negative conversation a recruiter will have in their own mind and the self-limiting, you know, the self-limiting beliefs that don't take, you know, that keep them stuck. And, you know, it's, you know, if you get rid of the self-limiting beliefs, that does a lot to eliminate burnout. And what I told you was that, you know, the voice got in my head back in December. Well, you know, there were some self-limiting beliefs there. And, you know, once again, okay, we're going to get rid of those. We're going to have some great conversations with people. And that'll start the momentum. You know, we'll just have some, you know, what's the best thing to do when you're feeling a little bit stuck as a recruiter? You pick up the phone, have some good conversations with people, go say hello, you know, go to a conference, you know, go do something, get off, you know, just go do something. And sure enough, maybe you'll pick up a little bit, you know, you'll pick up a little bit, you know, some momentum and go from there.
Good call. What was the thing that was bothering you?
You know, you're going to laugh when you hear this. It was a yeah, but. And you think about it, it was a yeah, but. And, you know, and here's the yeah, buts. I just told you how I do business. And there are people that are going to listen to this podcast and they're going to be horrified to hear Excel spreadsheet, clockwork, you know, a basic LinkedIn, not a lot of technology. Maybe we can talk about, well, you and I after, we'll talk about getting processed. We'll talk about process. How's that? But I make a lot of money. And I go, what difference does it make? You know, form over results. And the yeah, but was somebody put it in my head. It was all about the yeah, but we do it this way. And we're charging this amount. And I started thinking about, am I doing it correctly? And, you know, ultimately correctly is what works for you.
Sure. Yeah. Definitely.
Yep. And so you're starting to think about, hey, do I need to change my model because other people are doing it better, more efficiently, you know, however they do it? Or do you just look back on results? And I'm, you know, kind of got out of my head. I'm like, you know, who cares? My results are, you know, there are people out there that love to have my results.
You've built up to this point. What would be your, like, imagine that you're mentoring a recruiter who is billing not even half what you are, like somewhere 300, 400, which is like, you may not have a benchmark on the market because you know what's going on in your world, but 300 or 400K is excellent, right? But they're inspired by what you're doing and they're thinking, well, how do I get to that level? Then what, break down, like, what would you get them doing in order to level up?
Have a conversation, one more level up.
Right.
Yeah, learn. Okay. Learn. Have a conversation. Look, a couple of things I'm real big in. Invest in yourself. If you're not willing to, and this is what I tell young executives, you know, just in business in general, invest in yourself. If you're not willing to invest in yourself, why should anybody else invest in you? That means, you know, conferences. You know, where's the best place to go meet people? At a conference. Go find some conferences and spend some money. Go buy a plane ticket. Go spend some money and make a difference. And go have those conversations and make those conversations about what's happening with you, what's going on in the industry, you know, what's happening with pricing, or, you know, it's a level up. It's a level up conversation, right? I speak. I've been fortunate enough. I've spoken at a couple of conferences, and I went to one a couple of years. I spoke at one a couple of years ago, and it was the conference I spoke on was actually a follow on to another conference, and I listened to CEOs talk to me. Just listened to CEOs talk to me for 2 days about the challenges they were having. And I had my presentation and my PowerPoint and I was all ready to go. And I got up and I got in front of them, 50 CEOs. I said, all right, folks, here we go. I got this great PowerPoint. I got this presentation all ready to go for you. I'm throwing it all away. And we're just going to go from scratch. And I said, yeah, you've talked to me about how hard it is to hire people. But what are you doing to become a destination of choice? You know, here's what you need to do as a company to become a destination of choice for the right people. Well, okay, 50 CEOs, an hour in front of them, another 20 minutes of question and answer, half hour after that, you know, I paid my way. You know, that conference, it cost me about $3,000-$4,000 to go. Okay, let's talk about $500,000 later.
Yeah. Amazing. So that was, that took balls to throw out your presentation and speak extemporaneously to the challenges that you've just been listening to for the last couple of days. But of course, it's on a topic that you know inside out. So, but still, that's awesome, man. What, how did you get the opportunity to speak?
Just from relationships through the industry. Mm-hmm. All about people that I have helped. I've written some articles for. It's nothing more than building relationships. And they said, hey, look, yeah, and it was, would you mind coming to this conference and speaking for us? And that went back to right before COVID. That was the first time I spoke with them. And it was great. I went up there with a prepared speech and kind of it was okay. Not great. Not great for them. I wish I'd done things differently. But then they said, hey, look, would you come back and do it again? And COVID came, and then in 2021, I went and spoke with them. And, you know, the whole thing was, and I'll just tell you, the topic was hiring people who need the A. And they were like, you know, you got to hire people who need the A. And there are people in the world that are okay with B's and C's, but then you find people out there who absolutely have to have the A. So you're thinking about, you know, what would you do for a new person billing $300,000-$400,000? Well, get out of Beeville and go find the A. You know, it's like, get up there, go have a conversation, put your fears aside, you know, reach out to somebody cold, you know, find some referrals, talk to them, and be of value. Have a valuable, hey, look, I'm here. This is what we do. How can we help you? Private equity group reached out to me last week, and they're talking about a company that they want to buy, and they're like, hey, we may need a board member. You know, how would you go about it? And it just so happened, I wrote them back, like, is it this company, or this company? It was crickets. I said, well, if it is, just call this person and they'll help you. That's the person you need to at least evaluate where you want to go. And the answer back was, thank you. We're going to call them. It's a freebie. But if they're calling you, yeah, they would have paid me. I'm not going to bill them, but yeah, I don't care.
Interesting. Yeah. What's your thought process there, Craig? Why not make a formal introduction and then give them an invoice?
They weren't ready for it yet. And they're still thinking about some stuff. And I'm like, this guy's your neighbor anyway. Yeah, they live in the same city. You know, why don't you just reach out? I actually said, I'm happy to make the introduction. But, you know, it's a freebie. Go for it if you want to. Once again, be a value. I mean,
be of value. Absolutely. That's a great motto. So
play the long game and be a value.
Yeah, 100%. And so going to conferences and then ultimately speaking at conferences, even better, learning. You mentioned investing in yourself. Warren Buffett, of course, famously said the best investment you can make is in yourself. Can't be taxed. And, you know, you're going to get the best ROI out of any other investment. You are very deliberate about the content you're putting out there. How much time do you dedicate that? And what's your process? Like you said, you write a lot. Let's talk about writing. How often and for how long?
Every day I'll put a thought down. I don't necessarily publish everything I write, but AirPods and Nirvana on your iPhone create a great thought process. And I, you know, like I said, I work out. I'm a big CrossFit thing, you know, and I love putting my AirPods in and I love working out. And that's where most of my thoughts are generated. And I can come in, I can bang out a blog in 10 minutes. And people can follow me, you know, just Craig Pickin. You can follow me on LinkedIn, see what I write. I don't care. You know, I'm never insulting. But there's a couple of companies in aerospace right now that just need to get their stuff together. And I'm very happy to say, hey, look, you know, leadership is a big quality. You know, if you've got leaders in your company and you're not allowing them to lead, why do you have leaders in your company? Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. Too many people are hiding behind email and text. Email and text it's okay. Pick up, you dial somebody. And if they don't pick up the phone instead of leaving a voicemail, hey, I just tried to get you. Call me back.
Awesome. So what I'm trying to extract here, Craig, is your overall principles, philosophy, but then also the tactics. So in terms of writing, so you're writing every day, but you don't necessarily publish every day, but you're writing, getting your thoughts down every day in writing. So that's an awesome discipline. Like 20 minutes of writing or half an hour or 10 minutes?
Yeah, maybe 10 minutes. I could crank out a pretty good blog in 10 minutes. Okay. So once again, on my iPhone, my AirPods, yeah, you got the notes function. And a lot of times I'm just tapping out my blog in notes. And then I transfer it over to, LinkedIn. Or to my website, or I do a podcast on it. And, you know, once again, I try to make it something of value to somebody, something of interest. You know, it's not a pretty picture of me. You know, I mean, there are people out there that are turning LinkedIn into Snapchat and Instagram with just pretty pictures of themselves. So I'm like, yeah, let's put something up that's of value and may resonate with somebody.
Where do you come up with your topic ideas for what you want to write about?
The gym. I mean, literally.
Okay.
It's all so it's sporadic. Like
you're working out and the ideas are flowing.
It's all sporadic. And a lot of times, look, it's the Wall Street Journal. I love the Wall Street Journal and I get a lot of business. You know, you can just think about topics. You know, the other topic I wrote the other day was in the United States, commercial real estate. There's this predictions of a huge crisis in commercial real estate because people aren't coming back to the office. But then the next article said UPS, Boeing, and a couple, you know, JP Morgan are all demanding return to office. So how long is this crisis in real estate going to last if all these companies are returning to the office? Or where does that intersection, you know, what's real? Are we going to be in a work from home environment for the rest of our lives? I don't think so. Are we going to be in a fully returned to the office environment? Yeah, I don't think so. You know, it's you're just thinking about it, you know, it's like, okay.
Great. So you're reading, you're taking information, then you're reflecting on it, and then you're giving your own take.
Yep. Yeah. Or I can just put my own opinion up, or you know, I can just put my own opinion. Hey, look, this is why I disagree with, you know, I see something from a company doing something. I go, I don't think this is the best path. You're right about it. And it's okay to be a little bit, you know, it's okay to be a little bit, you know, what's the word? Dissenting. You do it respectfully.
Absolutely.
You do it respectfully.
Yeah. Challenging. Yeah, totally. There's no point in just churning out more vanilla content that's the same as everyone else. You want to have your own take on something. And if it's contrarian or if it's counterintuitive, then so much the better, because then it grabs people's attention. Like, wow, that's different. I wonder why he says that. And so 100%. It's more disruptive. It's going to, you know, if it jars people a little bit, but then you explain your reasoning, I think that's probably a good thing.
To your, you know, going back to your question about a $300,000 or $400,000 recruiter, you know, be different, you know, distinguish yourself from all the other recruiters, you know, look, you know, be different. And that's, you know, look, how can you make yourself different than every other recruiter in the world? I mentor a lot of college kids. And the one thing I tell, you know, and what I tell them to do is I say, hey, look, you may not have a big following on LinkedIn, or you may not feel like you're ready, worthy, you know, smart enough, whatever else. But if you post content on LinkedIn, what's happening is that the people who are checking you out, eventually you're going to go for a job. Eventually, you know, you're going to start to interview. You know, people are going to check out your social media. And then they're going to start to look at, you know, hey, you go, look at what I post on LinkedIn. You know, hey, look, here's my LinkedIn. Here's what I post. And then what they're going to start to see is how you think. And thinking and being and involved and having a brain and showing that you're a little bit different goes a long way to a lot of people. They want to become somebody they want to talk to.
Yeah, I love it. So two quick questions. One, podcast, how much time does that take on a sort of weekly basis?
It depends on, I will do, my podcast lasts, I give about an hour. You know, I'll give an hour. I had an awesome one the other day, and it's going to come out. And it is with the former vice president of people for Southwest Airlines.
Wow.
Southwest Airlines built this great culture. And
yeah,
we were talking about, you know, building cultures and leadership. And she was so fun. But one of the topics we talked about was how to fire people and still be friends and still do it respectfully. And she was talking about how she fired an executive twice. And they're still great friends. And she actually went to work for
twice. How do you fire somebody?
Here's the funny thing. The executive she fired twice is a guy named David Neelman, who went on to start JetBlue Airlines, Azul. He's a startup of three airlines. And ultimately it came down to, hey, look, you know, Neelman, his path was going this way. Everybody else was going this way. Didn't make him a bad guy. In fact, just the opposite. He's a brilliant guy. But his style wasn't fitting in with the other style. And she had to be the person that delivered him the bad news. But then she goes to JetBlue and becomes the VP of people after he starts it. You know, so we had some great conversations. So the podcast takes me, I did one yesterday. Sometimes I'll just kind of cram them all in. I'll do two or three a week. It's about 3 hours. And then I have some people that, you know, mine are, you do a great job with your podcast. You know, mine are out there and I love it. I love the conversations I have. But we put them up and we do them. And so sometimes I'll go, I'll get two or three done a week and then I'll go for a week and not do one at all. So it's a little bit sporadic. But, you know, the nice thing is I talk to people and just say, hey, I love what you do. Why don't you come on my podcast? We'll talk about it. And it goes out to 10,000 people and, you know, and they're like, yeah, that sounds fun. Let's do it. And it's all, but it's never, it's all about them. You know, it's.
Love it. So, Craig, wait, you just dropped another clue here. I'm getting all these clues about how you operate so I can put it all together. It goes out to 10,000 people. Wait, what? So is that your email list, your contact list that you're distributing your content to?
Yeah. You're late.
And how often are you mailing to that?
Every week, just once a week, list? Every week.
Once a week. Okay. And it will either be podcast or a blog or both or
The only thing I mail out is my podcast. That's the only thing that goes out to my email. The only thing that goes out, I don't bombard people with a lot of, I get emails from people who, you know, leadership coaches every day. I'm like, yeah, it's spam. I don't want to be spam. Once a week, you know, if you want to listen to it, cool. If you don't want to listen to it, great. But you know, a typical podcast will get 3,000 or 4,000 downloads. And so, you know, it's good. And then, you know, I put it up on YouTube and get some downloads there, you know, so it's all, you know, it's once again, it's all about positioning yourself as somewhat, you know, somebody who's in tune with the industry, helping somebody else get their voice out there. A lot of it I like about, you know, it's a lot of leadership stuff. Hey, what are you doing to get the people rowing in the boat? Or how do you, you know, so it's fun. I've enjoyed it.
Fantastic. Craig, one final question is because you mentioned hiding behind email and text earlier. Do you still make outbound calls? And if so, like what sort of volume of calls are you putting out there?
Outbound calls all the time. Quantity over volume. I'm not interested in a 2-minute conversation with somebody. I am interested in a 30 to 40 minute get to know you call. How can I know? So, you know.
But if you're like, it's easier to have a 30 or 40 minute conversation if you've already set up the appointment. So is your initial outreach to set up an appointment? Because if you catch someone on the hop and they're in the middle, they're between meetings, you're not going to have a 30 minute call with them, right?
No, it'll be, hey, look, a lot of it are referral calls. Yeah. So-and-so suggested we get introduced, be it on the candidate side or on the potential client side. So-and-so suggested we get introduced. Love to have a conversation with you. I'm catching you out of the blue. What's your calendar look like over the next couple of days? And I go, yeah. And then ultimately, hey, this isn't a brain teaser for you to, you know, drop everything you're doing and look at your calendar. I'm going to shoot you an email. Just respond to it. I have all my contacts. You can check me out. Have all my contacts. Just respond when we can chat and we'll put something on the calendar. Great. That's just a very non-threatening, easy way to do it. People like that.
Absolutely. Fantastic. So what are your plans for 2024 then, Craig?
I don't know. We'll see. How many? Yeah. Another 2023? Yeah. You know, maybe. That's it. And the, you know, the plans are just keep doing everything every day that's made me successful and do it a little, yeah, just try to be a little better tomorrow than I am today. You know, and like I said, when I came in, I go, I live in fear. You know, it's, you know, there's just something about me. I live in a little bit of fear where.
Yeah. What did you mean by that? We kind of skipped over at the time because we wanted to other things, but what is that sensation and what's causing it? What's the thought pattern?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. I think it's a continual drive a little bit of drive for self-improvement. And the fear that I have is that tomorrow I'll be, you know, it's like, do not be mediocre. tomorrow, do not be mediocre. I just can't stand status quo. I can't stand, you know, looking back and going, yeah, it's like tomorrow be a little better than I am today. And I think it's that constant, a little bit of drive, a little bit of nervousness, you know, what if all this stopped tomorrow? You know, what would happen? So it's like, all right, well, you just keep going. I think that's about the best way to describe me is I'm a grinder. And that's definitely, you know, like I grew up in, I grew up in a chaotic environment, put myself through college, did something everybody said would never happen. And I flew for 8 years. I got to fly for 8 years in the Navy. And then I had, pretty successful career before I started as an executive recruiter. But I think it all comes back to, I don't ever want to live again in a chaotic environment. And, so there's that constant, I think there's that constant drive to ensure tomorrow is better. And I am better, and the conversations are better, and I'm helping people to be better. I think that's the thing that has gotten, that's taken me somewhere. Is I don't ever think, if the philosophy I have is that if I do my job correctly, the money will come. Everything will come. Don't worry about it. Just keep doing the things you need to do to be successful. Too many people think about the opposite. They think about the money. What do I need to do to make the money? I'm like, that's a different mind shift for me. It's all about do the things you need to do today to be successful tomorrow.
On that note, that's a perfect way to wrap up. So Craig, that was fun. The time just flew past and it's great. We'll need to do this again another couple of years, get the latest update. So
call me anytime. Enjoyed it today. Thank you.